Mr. Fix-It.
The Legal Machine.
Diabolu Frank.
So have y'all been watching Gotham?
No, I've never
Absolutely
seen a single
not.
Episode of that show.
No
so
way.
I felt the same way because, you know, I'm curious how DC is going to build up their universe compared to the way Marvel has.
Keeping in mind that the DC television universe is completely separate from the cinematic universe.
Which I think is a big mistake.
Honestly, I'm not sure that I agree with you. The more I think about it, the more I think that, like, because I continue to watch Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I'm a masochist.
And the first episode wasn't that bad at third season.
It's okay, but that's the thing, though. That show, I'm on the third season watching a show that on a good day is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, with the exception of the Hydra reveal.
It's not great. Yeah. It's a lot better than I'd say a lot of stuff out there right now.
Mm-hmm. When I hear people talk about Arrow or The Flash, they're so enthusiastic. They're so enjoying those shows. And because of those shows, they sure are continuity, just like the Marvel movies, but it's a TV continuity.
Yeah.
So they can cross over with each other and there isn't all these complication stuff. Where you look at Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that show is constantly being crapped upon by the movies. And part of it is because Kevin Feige was talking about in an interview recently. He was saying that the movies come together so much more slowly. They're so much more deliberately put together. And they are filming a movie at different times as the show's getting filmed, so the schedules don't really work out that great. Mm. And so the TV show will often reflect the movies because they can knock that stuff out really quick because of how TV's made and how much more close to the point of distribution it is. Where they're working on Avengers a year and a half, 2 years before that stuff ever hit the screen. But if it's two TV shows and there's parody, it's a TV show going into another TV show, then you can create a universe and it's as simple as having the same production team. Because even the guy who runs CBS didn't know it, but part of the contract for the Supergirl show is that the Supergirl can appear on the Arrow The Flash. So that's still part of a shared universe, even though they're going to span network.
But then now it's
going to
be, well, we have TV universe and we have the movie universe.
But that's okay.
Oh, cool. I like it better when it's just you use S.H.I.E.L.D. to fill in the gap between the movies. I can live with
it. But they don't do a good job of that very much. That show, I watched that show out of a sense of obligation to the movies, but the show has never been great. At best, it's just okay.
I think the show will pay off more near the end when we start getting to like the Inhumans movie.
I don't think it's ever going to pay off.
I think there'll be more of a payoff. Because, like, okay, I watched the first episode of Gotham when it first came out and I thought it was crap. Never watched it again. Hopped on Netflix. I'm like, you know what? I'm at lunch. I got nothing else to do. Let me watch it. Watched it. Okay. Got the second, third, fourth. I was like, okay. It got picked up because it felt like a really cool NCIS.
A procedural.
Law and Order. Kind of cop show. Kind of gritty. Yeah. Because
my understanding is while they're not directly adapting it, but Gotham Central was supposed to be an influence of the show.
Oh, I never
it's
read
like
it.
It's like Bad and Batman Year One.
I've read some issues of it. I've never read like in a collection of it, but I've read like little one shots of them and I enjoyed them. I thought it was kind of cool seeing the perspective of the police or the detectives, which I thought was neat. So me and Fryhole were talking about it, and of course the first season's all about the Penguin. Fryhole loved it. I thought the Penguin was annoying because he basically just got kicked out of, but the Fish Mooney character, I really was like, wow, this is just a really interesting character. She's just this tough badass that, you know, you knock her down, she gets back up. You knock her down, she gets back. Like, she doesn't stay down. So, and it felt kind of like a cool, like I said, film noir kind of.
She didn't come back for the second season though, right?
No, I don't know. She said she's not, but they left it open. They definitely left it open with the way the first season ended. No spoilers there, but the way they left it. So I'm like, okay, well, I got a little excited. I'm like, okay, Gotham was actually kind of fun. It was a cool cop show. Let me watch season two. First episode comes out, I'm like, the villains, I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, you know, you definitely got the Joker there and some cannibal guy.
Jerome.
Yeah, and I was like, but the weird thing is he's just so, like, the dude just chews up the scenery. Like, it's just when he's doing his shtick, it's just like, it's like someone trying to be the Joker. Dude, it's like the cosplay Jokers at Comic Palooza and you let them film themselves on a TV show. They just go so overboard with it that it's not really the Joker. Like,
the Joker's a character that works better in small doses.
Yeah.
The more time you spend with him, the more you demystify him, and the more grating and obnoxious he becomes.
Well, because I started looking at this, the difference between DC and Marvel to me is like, DC has their multi-universes. Like, so this is DC World 1, and now there's DC World 2, because I don't think I'll ever see Gotham and Arrow running into each other. I don't think they have
anything.
Yeah,
there's a different production.
Yeah, so DC kind of did what they did with their whole universe, where there's like fucking multiple universes, and I'm sure they're going to have an Infinity Crisis, and they're all going to crash one day. The second season, you got the Joker guy coming up, and they're kind of, and I'm like trying to enjoy it, and I can't. It's just, it's all the bad things people think about comic book fans are into played up to level 11. Like, I just don't get it. Like, the show has actually started to turn me off because I don't find this character entertaining. Like, there's, I don't know.
Reacting to the Joker the way I react to the Joker now because they've put it in your face so much and you're sick of it.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to give him a couple, you know, the season. Because everyone, it was weird because everyone's talking about how, oh, the first season was okay, but this season's fantastic. I'm like, who the says this? Like, I want to know who the people say this, because it's not very good. It's definitely, you know, you got some crappy writers who are saying, okay, we really got to push this Joker character, but we're not going to call him Joker. We're going to call him Jerome. Ooh, do you get it?
Well, none They're of the characters Mr. are realized
J.
yet.
They're both Mr. J. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and he's going to laugh like the Joker, but kind of like a cosplay Joker, not a real Joker. And I mean, it's basically a super team, a super villain team, which I was kind of like, they're kind of pulling away from the cool cop show and becoming, you know, just another WB or a, you know, superhero show, generic. So I was just like, the only thing I would admit that through the first season, which I'm a big Batman fan, was Bruce really is annoying in the show. And I do like some of the stuff they do with Catwoman, and you know, they show Poison Ivy, and the one character that stood out to me was Enigma.
Edward Nigma, Edward the Riddler. Nigma.
I thought he has this really weird, the actor does a great job because he's so socially awkward, but he's in a, I don't know, kind of a cool social awkward, because he's like, throws all these really fun facts because he doesn't know how to talk to people, so he just bombards you. He does the Cliff Clavin at you, he just starts throwing all this knowledge that he knows. He picked up.
He Diablo Frank.
Yeah. Oh, I can say that too. So I just want to talk about that a little bit, because I was just like, yeah, I got into Gotham because I have Hulu now. So they're probably,
you know, it's one of those funny things, because in comics, people are always talking about how the culture's changed. Everybody's waiting for the trade. But you just said that you enjoy television the same way. You want to give it the season.
Yeah.
You're going to wait and you're going to binge watch it. It's just a cultural change, it seems like to me. People want to watch the whole thing and see the whole framework of it in one sitting or in a short span of time. People don't want to just wait a week for the new show to come out.
Netflix just really spoiled me on that. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the fact that I can sit there and we can watch a whole season and I don't have to wait 13 weeks to finish the series. Because the problem with that is, guess what, people? If episode 8 sucks, probably not going to come. I might not be there for 9 and 10. Like, I'm not going to be enthusiastic. But if I'm binge watching them, I finish 9, suck 10. Let me go ahead and get that 10 out of the way. 11 picks up. I'm going to sit through it. Because, like, I just finished watching Narco on Netflix. Fantastic show, dude. Mm-hmm. It's one of those shows that's just like, you watch episode 1 and next thing you know, it's 4 in the morning and you're through 9 episodes of like 13 episodes. So
yeah, and see, I'm having the exact opposite problem. I was trying to watch Orange is the New Black season 3, and if it were coming out once a week and we were DVRing it, and it's like, okay, well, it came out on Sunday, we'll watch it while we're eating on Monday or Tuesday, I'd probably have gone ahead and finished that season already, especially if we were doing it in weekly doses. But we started watching it, we'd watch it like for a few consecutive days, we weren't really getting into it, then maybe a week or two goes by, and now I think that season's been out for a few months and we're still stalled on like episode 8, where we just haven't come back to it. So it's the same issue as what you're talking about, but if it were weekly, I think we could have tolerated it.
Really?
And then with something like Fear the Walking Dead, if I tried to binge watch Fear the Walking Dead, I guarantee you I wouldn't have made it through that show. I'm okay watching it once a week, but if I were to try to do it like over the course of a weekend, I wouldn't have made it through.
I kind of feel that way about Mr. Robot. We've been trying to watch Mr. Robot, and it's so involved that I don't think I can't watch 4 or 5 episodes in a row. We got to watch one and kind of stop. And I was like, this would be really good if it came on weekly and we were catching it with the DVR and then just watched our one episode per week. But because it's not, we're kind of having a hard time making it through. And it's very good, but it's just like
heavy.
It's heavy. Yeah. It's very heavy.
That's like the way I see TV shows. You've got two kinds of TV show. You've got True Blood and you've got Mad Men. With True Blood, and you know this because I turned you on to True Blood, you start watching that show, especially if you're watching like a season set, and you just go right into that next episode. You're ready to go. It's a lighter show and there's a lot going on, so it's easy to just get sucked in and we end up spending the entire night watching the whole season in one sitting. Where Mad Men, after you've watched one episode of Mad Men, and this is commercial television, which means you're only getting 40 some odd minutes, you don't need to watch another episode of that show for another day or so. You need to take a day and just like let that like soak in your mind and come back to it, because that's an involved watching experience. And for me, it was more enriching, because by the end of True Blood, I was so sick of that show.
Yeah.
And that was one of those, I mean, it's not like Dexter bad, but that was a really bad ending to a TV series.
Weak. Really weak.
Where Mad Men, I thought, ended the way it needed to end. It ended appropriately. And the last, you know, two halves of a season, I thought were really good. But I think that show suffered from a year-long gap between it. It just didn't have the momentum, because it's like, okay, here's 6 episodes this year, and then a whole other year, another 6 episodes. It wasn't like Breaking Bad, where the show got to build momentum over the course of that time. Those of us that were already faithful to it were like, why are you making us wait a year to watch the last of the show? It never got that momentum like Breaking Bad did. So I wanted to make sure I had enough time between those episodes, but I didn't need a freaking year.
Did any of y'all watch the new Heroes stuff?
I never watched the old Heroes, to be honest with you.
Never watched the old stuff.
My father used to watch Heroes, and I'd catch parts of episodes here and there. And I understand that the guy's just like a huge borrower of material from comics without any attribution.
Oh, no, dude. It's like watching an X-Men comic come to life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
is that a good X-Men comic or a bad X-Men comic?
Okay, season 1, good, 2, good, 3, weak, really weak. Season 4, okay. New season.
Because they're only an episode or two in, right?
Yeah, I think they're 3, because the first season was 2 episodes, or the season opener was 2 episodes. I'm going to have to give it a little bit more time. I mean, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I have to watch every one of these episodes. I'm more like, well, it's nothing to do today. What? All right, well, let's kill the day with it. Like, I can put it in that category, because I wasn't super stoked about it when I was watching it. It was kind of like, okay. they I don't know, it had the same feel, so that's okay. Same music. They're kind of going darker. Almost felt like almost a Civil War feel. You know, there was a giant bomb that the government is now going after the heroes, and you had, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some government agents that are heroes chasing down heroes. It's got, was it Loeb, right? Which one? Who's the producer?
I know Jeff Loeb was involved with it. I don't know if he still is, though.
I saw his name pop up. Okay. On it. Yeah, so he's pretty much going to probably, what was the word you like using?
Oh, influenced.
I'm sure he's going to be influenced by
it. Well, no, but my understanding, Jeff Loeb isn't the one that was doing that. My understanding is the show's creator, that Craig got. Oh, he was the one that was
influenced.
Well, here's the thing.
Who was he influenced by?
I don't have a problem with the influence. I have a problem with the fact that this guy has always denied that he knew anything about comics. He talked like he created it in a vacuum.
Just admit, look, I've been reading comics forever. Nobody make a decent TV show, so I decided to make a good TV show out of it. That's all you got to say, because people understand that. Most
comic books. Well, but it's a blanket denial. That way, nobody supposedly comes after him. It's like, you don't understand. Marvel and DC are never going to sue you for borrowing your stories. Yeah, you know, unless it's a creator-owned book where they have an investment in that one title, because the big companies know it's not worth their trouble.
Or if you're naming him like Sport or Glam instead of Spider-Man, and you have the same costume, then they'll go after you.
Yeah.
That's why all the porn, we talked about this before, that's why you can do all the porn stuff and they don't care.
You're right. Yeah, nobody at Marvel and DC wants to acknowledge that there are porno versions of their characters out there. So instead of saying the words or creating a lawsuit that's definitely, definitely, definitely going to get on the news, they just pretend it's covered by parody, even though clearly it's not, because those movies typically are not funny. They arouse a whole other set of feeling.
Excited for 2016. In fact, I think we should record a promo about all the changes to the Fire and Water Podcast Network happening this year. What do you think, Rob?
That's a great idea. We can mention the new folks joining the network and all the shows. I can talk about how we'll continue with our Aquaman and Firestorm show, and I want to be sure to plug my movie show, the Film and Water Podcast. What about you, Ryan?
Oh, I think we should definitely record a promo. I'll mention how the Secret Origins podcast is joining the Fire and Water Network, and then I'll introduce my newly relaunched shows, Give Me Those Star Wars and Power of Fishnets, the Black Canary and Zatanna podcast. Sound good to you, Chris?
Absolutely. I'll mention the show I record with my lovely wife, Cindy, Supermates, the husband and wife Geekcast. We should probably also mention the Power Records podcast Rob and I do, too. What about you, Siskoid?
Well, sure. I can talk about my ensemble show, the Lonely Hearts Romance Comics Podcast, and my new upcoming shows about the DC Comics crossover event, Invasion, and yes, Oh Hot Moo. Shag, you think we should mention Hero Points, the most occasional DC Heroes role-playing podcast?
Sure, why not? And I can talk about Who's Who, the definitive podcast of the DC Universe, and mention my new upcoming show, Justice League International, Wahaha Podcast. Now, here's what I'm thinking. When we record, I'm fine being the first person talking. I can explain all the changes to the
Wait a minute. Why do you get to start the promo? I'm just as much of a part of this as you are. It was my idea to create the Fire and Water podcast back in 2011. I should start off this promo.
I kind of think it should be one of the new voices who kick off the promo. It'll shock the listener into attention if it's not Rob or Shag.
Cindy and I make up two people in the network, plus, you know, ladies first, so we should be the first people talking on the promo.
Ben, voyons donc.
You have
what?
Got
The French cannot be the language of the network.
Enough! Stop it. You're like boys with toys. Let's just make this simple. We can tell the folks at home the Fire and Water Podcast Network is growing in 2016. Several new shows are joining the network. We'll have a new dedicated website, a Twitter account, and Facebook page, and folks will be able to subscribe to each individual show or all of them. See, now was that so hard?
The Fire and Water Podcast Network, available soon through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Seriously, Shag, you had to get the last word, didn't you?
Well, sucks on that picture, man.
Damn. What?
Oh, it's a picture from Firestorm fan. Yeah.
Oh, that you didn't get in on the picture?
He tagged us on the Twitter.
Okay. Cool.
That's what he was saying. So I showed him the
picture. So you saw my picture? That looked pretty cool.
Why would I show you? What did you put us on? Did you put it up?
No, he did.
How would I show you?
It's on his Facebook page.
Oh, the Facebook one. Yeah. I'll show you. Ooh, what the hell? Why do I have all these notifications?
Yeah, so what else?
If you got tagged in with Firestorm fan via your Twitter, then that's going to happen.
No,
they have a pretty damn good audience.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, most of our audience, their audience, like, you know, we diverted a portion of their audience to our show. That's where most of our audience is. Just literally hours.
Well, that was so weird. I didn't realize that Eternal Rage, like, he has nothing to do with their show.
Yeah, he's.
I had no clue. So I was like, man, I listen to podcasts.
How he got. So, you know, listening to the show, I'm not sure how that even happened.
Because it was weird when y'all were like, when I asked, can we cuss? And you're like, no. And I'm like,
yeah, it's Fire and Water.
We cursed.
We didn't.
I just want to make sure I came out. Because, I felt weird walking in the middle and not knowing what was going on.
Yeah.
for a little.
Well, actually, I kind of like you kind of jumping in there because, like I said, he was sort of like, you know, it's like us two run the show and then you're just kind of show up a little bit. And when you came in there and you're just talking to Batman and stuff, everything else, it's like he's stepping up. He's showing up for this one. And I like that too because he has a bigger audience than us.
Machine.
There are people that would have never listened to our show and would not have any idea who you guys were. But by appearing on Fire and Water, it gives you an opportunity to be an audience, which is one of the reasons why I've been so irritated at Ryan Daly for not having either one of you on Secret Origins, because it doesn't give you all a chance. He's the one who does the Secret Origins podcast, and I want you guys to be on this so that you have an opportunity to do stuff that doesn't involve me. I want you guys to spread your wings and fly.
No, I like hearing it. Dude, we're only ported into this world because of you, dude. Yeah, you are Ash, and we are your Pokemon, dude.
That is fucking strange.
Oh my god.
That was peculiar.
Fix it, fix it. Fix it. Actually, there was a...
See, that's it, dude.
Hold on.
You are the Ash to us Pokemon.
So, did you want to talk about anything else DC related? Because I still kind of want to do...
I got some.
Because I actually wanted to do the DC Bloodlines podcast where we talk more about DC stuff. And I want to do... I did one episode of DC Bloodlines because my intention was always to do with co-hosts, but I never have gotten around to it because I haven't had time. So I was going to plug that into one of those DC Bloodlines and help with the Gotham.
Hold on, real quick. So the writer of Batman is current Batman.
Oh, Scott Snyder, right?
Okay, so I decided I'm going to read other stuff Scott Snyder's written. I like his American Vampires. I think it's a really good series.
Uh-huh.
I've read like the first five trades. I have great view on vampires, great history, like a alternate history of vampires. So I decided to pick up his book, Witches.
I've got the first trade on order in case you want to read that.
I already read it.
Oh, you did? Okay, how was that?
So the comic is the brother hanging out with his sister. They're having drinks and it's from the perspective of the sister. So you're seeing everything from her point of view.
Like literally from her eyes.
Yeah, from her eyes. Yeah. She all of a sudden is like getting groggy, falls down, and he's like, I'm really sorry. I had to do this. And he's talking about how it's going to happen really quickly. Don't look, you know, you can't look at him. And so he covers his eyes and he covers her eyes, but his fingers are open, so you're seeing that perspective between the fingers. The witch comes in, which is a deformed creature, takes the baby, sees it, disappears. All of a sudden he's like, wait, you saw it? And then his body's yanked from the panel, and then you're assuming that she dies as well. The witch ends up killing them all. So I'm like, this is the first read when I get home. You start reading the series, garbage.
That's disappointing.
Dude,
that preview was really cool.
Yeah, and so I'm reading it and people are like, oh, it's one of the most terrifying comics of that. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, where did they get these blurbs from? Because I'm reading, I'm like, not one time though was I terrified.
Well, that's actually why whenever I see blurbs on anything really, but especially on comic books, I like to make sure what the source is, because I might not know your film review site, but I know the comic sites. And even if it's like Newsarama, it's like, well, they have all kinds of random jerks who write stuff for Newsarama. That doesn't mean anything. Like if it's CBR, well, is it somebody who's a good reviewer like J. Caleb Mazzucato, or is it just some random jerk? So you really have to look at those closely. You can get anybody to say anything, and you don't even need payola in comics. There's enough bad taste that you don't need to actually benefit those people.
Man, I should have brought it with me, then you could have just read it, because it's not...
It doesn't matter. I paid for it. I pre-ordered it, and I paid for it already. It just has to come through the
Well, when you get it, we'll talk about it. You should have it, dude. It already came out. The library had it, dude. I was so disappointed in it, because
the preview story is so great that it's a lot to live up to.
Yeah, read the preview at the very end, dude. It's short, dude. It's eight pages. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like Scott Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, okay? That was one, you know, that first 10 minutes that they released online was so great, so awesome, and pumped me up so much to see the movie.
Scott
I was a
Snyder?
Jerk. Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah. Zack Snyder. Sorry, Zack Snyder. Because we were talking about Scott Snyder. Okay. So I was so pumped to see that movie that I was a jerk.
Oh, yeah. That ambulance crashing. Right. Oh, yeah.
I was so hyped that I was a jerk. I went and saw the movie because me and Mac were supposed to see it together, and I couldn't wait. So I went and I saw it once on my own, and then I had to watch it a second time with Mac. And it was like, it wasn't a bad movie. It was okay.
I enjoyed it.
But that first 10 minutes was so good.
Oh, dude, it's
that the
intense.
Rest of the movie couldn't even remotely compare. Because like they did the same thing with Serenity, and Serenity had a really great opening sequence, and then you go on to see the movie, and the movie is just as good, if not better, than that opening sequence. Whereas with Dawn of the Dead, nothing is anywhere near as good as the rest of the movie.
I thought the ending was cool. I like that little trailer.
And that's the thing that I hated, is that you get the setup, and it's like, okay, well, this is the ending of the movie, and I'm okay with this. There's trauma, there's pain, there's bad stuff that happens, but you know, this is a good stopping point, and leave it live from here. And then they felt the need to do that extra footage over the course of the credits, and just like took away all doubt that, oh, more terrible stuff happened, and I didn't need that. I thought that it was already bad enough where they left things, and then it's like, let's turn the screws a little bit harder over this credit.
Crank it up to 11.
Yeah, and it just felt like, this is going to be so cool, it's going to be so rock and roll. And to me, what it did is it told me you never cared about these characters, and you were just waiting, you're going to get off on, you know, savaging them some more over the credits.
Brother, brother, brother. Tawate. My name is Stella, and I host Batgirl to Oracle, the Barbara Gordon podcast. I, along with my dear friend Donovan Morgan Grant, are going to be hosting a special Batgirl to Oracle episode called The Minority Report. I'm putting the call out right now for anyone that identifies himself or herself as a minority to have a discussion centering around this question. Are minorities portrayed properly in media? Now, Donovan Morgan Grant and I will be leading this discussion and would like your input. So whatever your nationality, ethnicity, gender identification, or sexual orientation, if you are interested in being a part of this conversation, please contact me at backgirl2oracle@gmail.com. This discussion will take place in early 2016. Heterosexual white males need not apply. Thank you, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Ride that home to me.
Made it safely to the airport, about to board. It was fantastic to meet you and the guys. I had a blast, and please thank your wonderful lady for the hospitality and delicious cooking. Hope we can do this again sometime. Don't forget to send me the audio too.
I forget Siskoid.
What?
What's that?
He replied to that picture of us, and he just says exactly how I remember text.
And super friends, I'm Kevin Smith, and tonight we're going to talk about the dawn of the Justice League. Man, DC Films and Warner Brothers Pictures finally bringing the Justice League universe to the big screen.
What I was actually going to bring up with you is you watched the DC special where they were talking about all the movies that are coming out.
Most
right?
of it, yeah.
Most of it?
Yeah, on YouTube.
How did you watch it?
YouTube.
It's already on YouTube.
Yeah, but they broke it up, so it's like Green Lantern portion. Wonder Woman portion.
Smith was making a point of saying that they cut a snippet from that show where Geoff Johns was talking about the DC multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
Smith said, hey, if it's a multiverse, couldn't you have the TV shows and the movies interact?
Yeah, actually, they just talked to I saw
and
that.
And Johns was like, and didn't comment beyond that. So they're thinking that as some sort of a combination. I think that's total bullshit. I guess they just didn't want to rule it out.
Right now, Kevin Smith and DC have this symbiote relationship because I still believe Gotham comes from one of his podcasts where they literally were joking about having all the bad characters in high school. And next thing you know, Gotham comes up and it kind of feels like all the characters are in high school.
Mm.
They're all younger versions of themselves. I like the fact that they're a little skewed, but they're all like just kid versions of themselves. So yeah, I think they're just kind of drawing from that well, and
they're just like
I also think that he's a
big enough name in geek circles that he lends some degree of credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's expensive, and he's usually got free time because he never seems to have a project going at any given time.
He's always doing movies, but I think
he hadn't done anything since that what was it, like Soccer Hooligans or what was that?
He just did a film with his daughter.
But that's what I'm saying, he did that with Johnny Depp's
Sundance right now.
I think Johnny Depp's daughter or something's in there too.
Yeah, his daughter.
They filmed that during while they were doing Tusk, I think.
Well, yeah, right after that, and I think he has another film coming up because he's doing a lot of small films. He says he's going back to his roots where he's doing the small films.
Yeah,
this is not a Kevin Smith podcast. We're going to stop now.
Okay,
but about the multiverse.
Yeah,
that would be kind of cool though.
Here's the thing. I got no problem with it because that way it works with DC continuity because DC always had multiverses. Even after they tried to wipe out the multiverse, it came creeping back in again, and they go back and forth whether or not they want to acknowledge it, but it works for DC because I think DC is more about legends than it is about continuity. Marvel was about continuity. Marvel, especially once you had Stan and Jack, you know, when it actually was Marvel Comics as opposed to the timely stuff,
mm-hmm.
it was all about those stories interconnecting because it was the same creators on most of those books.
Stan
scripted them all. You had the same artist doing all of it, so it just made sense for them to cross over and overlap with each other. Plus, it was easier to write that way because if you needed to bring somebody in for a sales spike or because it worked for a story, then yeah. But DC was always straight line. It was always, you know, this is this editorial stable, and those characters don't interact. And they didn't even start playing with that really around the same time as Marvel did, but never to the degree that that Marvel did. So it makes sense that they would have a multiverse. They, you know, Julie Schwartz, when he introduced the concept of Earth 2 into DC continuity to explain how the Justice Society and the JLA could coexist. You know, they're on two separate Earths. They got characters with the same names and similar powers, but they're different because they're on different Earths, on different vibrational planes. So there's no reason why the TV continuity couldn't be valid and the movie continuity be valid. And you don't even necessarily have to have them cross over. You can just say, we're like Marvel right now. You know what's going on with Marvel, where Isaac Perlman and Kevin Feige are kind of feuding with each other? You heard about that, right?
No.
Okay. Basically, Perlman used to like run Marvel, period. And he was one of the guys who brokered the deal for Disney to buy Marvel. But because he's kind of a bit of a nutter, and because he has some very heavy-handed methods, for instance, he's the guy who's responsible for them taking down all the Fantastic Four posters in the Marvel offices and not allowing them on any licensing and canceling the Fantastic Four comic. And he pulls stuff like that, and he's also known as micromanaging Penny Pincher.
I think I've read some articles.
So because everybody was credited in Kevin Feige for doing all the great stuff for the Marvel Studios, and Disney doesn't have a problem with you spending money so long as you're making money, basically they went ahead and they took Marvel Studios away from Isaac Perlman's oversight and gave it to Feige. But Perlman still runs the TV division. So they used to have that big selling point of, oh yeah, we can have the TV characters, the movie characters intermixing. And in fact, most of the people who signed contracts to be in the movies most of the actors that signed a contract to be on television, part of their contract is that they can also use them in the movies. It doesn't work in reverse. The movie actors, they can't get them to go to TV necessarily, but they can make the TV actors go to movies. And that was really the plan. But once they did this change, all of a sudden, since that's under Isaac, it's like now all of a sudden the TV shows are a different continuity than the Marvel movies. And you've got guys like Charlie Cox, the guy who played Daredevil, is saying that if they use Daredevil in Infinity War, they'd probably use a different actor because of that separation. And like, you know, there's just not as much interrelativity. And also, and they've said this, they finally admitted to it, that basically the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is the only like proper show they have where it's actually broadcast on television, it's on ABC, they get the scraps of continuity. You know, they give them just enough so they can do some stuff late in the season to tie things into the Marvel movies, but they just get the leftovers. They get to fill in the gaps. When you think about it, the entire second season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was about setting up the helicarrier showing up in Age of Ultron.
Sure.
That's all they did. And that was a whole season, and that's basically what it came down to. And they're saying like the Inhuman stuff that they've been setting up in S.H.I.E.L.D. this season and last season won't have anything to do with the movie, if they do the movie at all, because that was really Isaac Perlmutter's, that was his push. He wanted to push Inhumans.
So what,
No, that's the thing. They may not do an Inhumans movie. It's kind of gone back and forth on that front. So it's thrown a bunch of stuff up in the air, so now you don't have that interrelativity at all. Well, DC already kind of does that because they're going to have their TV universe and their film universe. And I think seeing how that's not necessarily working out for Marvel, where Marvel's basically doing the same thing anyway, I don't think that all these people that throw shade because there's going to be a movie Flash and a television Flash and all that stuff, let them be separate, because what I think happens is it allows the DC TV shows to have a lot more freedom. They can introduce people through the TV show, and then they make the leap to the movies and the big budget, and you're like, yeah, I get to see the Flash do all this stuff that he can't do on the TV show. I think it mutes the excitement of things you get to see on the TV show, but by then, you know, by the time Flash shows up in the movies, you're talking about season 3 or 4 of Flash by the time that his solo movie comes out. He's going to appear, I believe, in Justice League, but like just a little brief cameo. So
costume looks like
It looks better on film. That's something that they're finding too, is they figure out how to make it work for TV and film it correctly, and it works wherever you see, except that Red Tornado and Supergirl was terrible on screen too. It was bad. But anyway, so I like the idea of them just having their own continuities, and you can imagine that they're in different universes. I think that's a better headcanon thing than something they actually need to spell out though and make official. I think it's just let the TV universe be the TV universe, and as many of the shows that can be produced by Greg Berlanti, so that you know there's a commonality, that there's a thread running through that. Because they're still talking about trying to connect Supergirl to those other shows, even though it's on a different network, and they go back and forth on that. So, you know, I kind of like Supergirl kind of being off on her own, and what can happen is if Supergirl eventually ends, they can still use those characters in the other Berlanti shows if they're still going.
Well, they did it with Constantine, didn't they?
Yeah, Constantine wasn't a Berlanti show, it was just a DC show. Once NBC decided to cancel it, yeah, we can use those characters now. NBC doesn't care, it just helps them to promote the show. Now that they've canceled it, they still make some money off of it, and DC wants those characters to be out in the public, so everybody was cool with it. It would work the same way with Supergirl, most likely. But there's still some possibility of them interrelating. I think they're just kind of downplaying that because the degree to which they can relate to one another is in question, because there's issues with them being on two separate networks.
And see, that I'm, like I told you earlier, I'm going to give Supergirl a try.
I don't know if it's your show, though.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was a little interested when I saw the Martian Manhunter flying next to her, and I thought that was kind of neat.
You watched the reveal,
I saw the clip,
right?
They had a clip, and then you see them flying again. I'm like, okay, I kind of want to see that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So So I know you're a huge Martian Manhunter. I mean, I only know about Martian Manhunter because of you and all the stuff you've always passed on. So I'm kind of interested in to see which way they would take him.
They've handled him pretty well so far.
Well, again, to go back to Kevin Smith, but like listening to that podcast where he had, what was his name?
Andrew Kreisberg.
Kreisberg.
The EP.
I love the fact that they seem to be staying true to the characters and really, so if you read the book and you watch the show, you're like, oh, that's just a new, the translation to a small screen.
Yeah, and actually that's part of what I like about Supergirl is I think they've been truer to the characters that have appeared on that show than the other shows. Like they did make Red Tornado a villain, but he was created to be a villain anyway. So that kind of suits. They turned Jim into a villain, but it's Jim, so who cares? Where like on the Flash show, though, they turned Adam Smasher into a villain, and that doesn't
They cop out because they're from Earth 2.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the whole Earth 2 actually exists.
I know that's how they got Killer Frost into the show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So yeah. Every time, so now when you're getting villains on his universe, they're all from Earth 2.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not really villains.
Okay.
So it's
no, that's cool. Yeah. I like that.
I told you that was the one thing I loved about that one episode with Grodd where they transported him to Earth 2 and he lands. And I mean, at the time I was like, Flash is kind of cool. And then when they showed Gorilla City, I was just like, I love this show. I remember I text Mac. I'm like, Gorilla City. He's like, what are you talking about?
Why did you text me?
I did.
I don't remember you saying anything. I don't know.
Okay. I watched it at lunch and I'm sitting there and he's fighting Grodd and they kept talking about teleporting him. Of course, they have a character from Earth 2 on there and he's always kind of hinting that there's these other parts on his in his universe that are different than our verse.
Is that the Earth 2 Flash?
Yeah. No, the Doctor. That was actually the villain. Season 1.
Oh, is that how they kept that guy who played Zoom on the show? Is this the Earth 2 version of that character?
So now you have a Zoom. Okay. You have a Zoom.
I thought he was doing like a Hannibal Lecter thing. Well, they captured
it,
him.
It's kind of cool because it's the one thing, like you're the DC fan.
Yeah.
And we're definitely the
Marvel fan. Used to be. I'm less so than
that. Well, the thing I always liked about, I was never a big fan that DC's characters were so super powerful. We talked about it a long time ago. Like they're all super powerful, which I always thought was kind of a turnoff. But I do love the fact that they'll do this really weird that Marvel tends to shy away from. Mm-hmm. And right now in the show, there's a Zoom, there's Flash, and then there's a reverse Flash that just appeared.
So yeah, that's Eobard Thawne.
Yeah.
He's from the comics.
Yeah. And so
he's in the future, and his life goes backwards.
Yeah, but they've already killed a Zoom before, or a reverse Flash. I mean, it's like, so I kind of like that weird, kind of all over the place, because it keeps it interesting. And there, so far, I believe it's Zoom. He's really twisted. I mean, it's the Black Flash.
Mm-hmm.
His mom, we don't know who he is yet. It's a good story arc.
Yeah,
so
he's
far.
Creepy looking. I've seen him.
Yeah.
But that's why, like, someone like a Grant Morrison belongs at DC. He's worked at Marvel, and I don't have a problem with people, like, moonlighting at the other company for a little bit just as a change of pace. But Morrison's the kind of guy, his kind of ideas belong at DC. And somebody like Brian Bendis belongs at Marvel.
But the problem is, though, like,
and
when
kind
he
of, 52, I like certain creators who have the right mindsets to work within the context of that universe.
But if you're going to.
I like that separation of the universe.
But if you're going to let him do it, you have to let him go full.
Yeah, well, they do. Morrison has pretty broad.
But, like, his whole 52 was just...
He didn't do... Did 52.
No, but what was that arc that
Multiversity?
He did? Was it the Multiversity? I don't know. You gave me something to read and it was just...
Oh, that was the one that had the Charlton Heroes, right? The Charlton Heroes back into the Watchmen.
Or something like that. Yeah, it was just...
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, that one, I didn't like that one. It was too vague. But you like the art, right?
Yeah.
Quietly did that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
I had a problem with that because I was really looking forward to that when I first heard that they were going to go ahead and give an Earth over to the Charlton characters and treat them as though Alan Moore had done them, used the original Charltons instead of analogs. But then when the book actually came out, it's like this is nothing. You're not doing anything with these characters. It's just a bunch of imagery. It really ticked me off. I was very disappointed by that. But he did Thunderworld as well, where Captain Marvel was on his own Earth, and that was solid.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, because each one of those books is its own Earth in the 52 Earth multiverse they've got. So they all had vastly different tone. And you know how it is. You're supposed to read them all, and then you find where they interlap with each other. I'm not going to do that. I read Thunderworld. That one was good. I read whatever the Charlton one was called. That one wasn't good. It was pretty, but it didn't read worth a damn. So for me, it was just a crapshoot. And the stuff he worked better on, I think, obviously, was the work on characters like Captain Marvel, where he was able to get into the wonder and the whimsy, and that's something that's more in his wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's actually why you still need to watch Talking with Gods, the documentary on him.
Yeah.
Because he gets into the filth and why the filth happened and why the filth was something that shouldn't have happened.
Dude,
I think everybody involved with that, like Chris Weston, was like, yeah, I'm going to do a book with Grant Morrison. And then when the script started coming in, he's like, what have I committed to? What have I done to myself? And Morrison was going in he was in a bad head trip basically when he did that book, and it didn't help.
Well, no, it explains why I have to watch it now, because I've read it and I still, like, it's one of those books you read it and you're not sure what you read. Like, I don't really remember. I remember reading it.
Just like a bunch of horrible stuff, right?
Yeah, but I don't remember if I liked it or disliked it.
I think.
I almost felt indifferent about it. It was just like, I started, I have to finish it just to see where it's going.
Mm-hmm. The art was pretty.
And I just, this week was cleaning out a room and I found the whole series collected in a bag. And so I was like, maybe I should read it again. But there was part of me, it's like, like, no, we don't want to go there again. It's a bad place. So.
If I remember correctly, the way it was phrased, I know that he was basically coming down off the 90s. He had been high for most of the 90s on drugs. He'd been partying. He'd be traveling around the world. And he was like really high off of just the possibilities of the 90s. And then going into the 2000s, it's like he realized that all the work he'd been doing had really not had any impact. He thought he was doing good in the world with the work he was doing, and he saw that there really wasn't any change. He was this free spirit who was having all kinds of free sex and having parties and stuff, but he didn't have anybody in his life that loved him, and like his cat was dying from cancer, because he incorporated that into the book. Is the
character's cat.
Because that's what he does. He incorporates his life into most of his story. Like, he always made a big thing about how he is King Mob. He wrote himself into the Invisibles, and he's King Mob, and stuff that happened to King Mob happened to him. He nearly died.
So he's
through this mystical connection he had to King Mob, him purging all his bad feelings from crashing at the end of the 90s, and just like basically everything that he had thought he was working towards had fallen apart around him, and it became the Filth.
I kind of want to go back and read that.
I don't know that you want to do that.
I want to watch the documentary first.
You watch the documentary. I think that'll be more interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting. I still own it, but I don't.
Well, he started to come back with books like Sea Guy, where he kind of got.
Yeah, I know you love that one.
I never read the second one. I liked it, but I never quite made it to the second volume, I don't think, unless they never collected it. Maybe they just never collected it, and that's why I didn't read it. I liked it all right. It was interesting. Hmm. But it was also kind of melancholy, too, though.
I'm trying to remember. The last thing of his I read was the Batman stuff, and I just don't like him on Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I think he works better when you give him characters that he can really push the boundaries on him and go really weird.
Well, he did do that with Batman. It's just maybe not the boundaries you wanted him to push, though.
He made, like, Batman Corp, and it just...
He did some interesting stuff with Batman. He's the one who had him do, you know, become the alien Batman, Zur-Nahr, or Kor, whatever that was called.
What?
Yeah. Because there was
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to know. This isn't a can of worms I want to know.
Yeah, he put Batmite back into the continuity.
But see, that's where Grant Morrison's great when he gets
But that's how you got the Batman of All Nations back, too. And that people seem to like that. That's what Batman Incorporated was spun out from. So.
Yeah.
Is Batman Incorporated like Kids Incorporated?
No.
They have like a Mexican Batman and a Japanese Batman and
It came from 50s Batman stories, actually. They had Batman of All Nations, where apparently Batman inspired people from around the world to do their own versions of Batman. And so in the aughts, Morrison decided to actually have them be part of a corporation where they're supported by Bruce Wayne. And so they were actually brought strongly into continuity.
So it's like Shark Tank.
Okay.
He funds small business owners across the world.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
When you come in, try out.
A little bit of a reach, but yeah.
He'll say, I'll give you, $150,000 to become Japanese Batman, but I want a 20% stake. And then negotiate back.
All merch.
Yeah, I want all merchandise rights.
But he's the George Lucas of Batman World.
We got way off topic, though. Yeah. The point was we were going to talk about the DC movies that they were
showing there. So go back to that.
So let's, I think, maybe get the big one out of the way first, Suicide Squad. See, Mac, had you seen the San Diego Suicide Squad trailer?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the one that had the...
Yeah, then we talked about it.
I started a joke.
I thought it looked dumb.
You thought it looked dumb then?
Yeah, but yeah, we talked about it in another podcast. Remember, I said it because it looked like it had four or five scenes where Harlequin was dancing. Mm-hmm. It was like every single cut of her in that trailer, she was dancing.
Okay.
I was like, oh, that's dumb. But the newest one with the Guardians of the Galaxy Bohemian Rhapsody ripoff, looked okay.
Just okay, though?
Yeah, that just looked okay.
What about you?
I'll go see it because we're going to go watch it. I didn't like it. I thought it would kind of be... I really don't like their Harley Quinn. She's not a goth chick playing Harley Quinn. Like, the director, I've seen some of his other films, and I like the director, so I'm hoping he's going to surprise me because he does that in quite a few films, especially like Fury and stuff, but I'm just not feeling this movie. Like, it feels like they're trying way too hard to be cool and different, and we're going to do something like, we're not your brother, your dad's comics. We're doing something cool and different. We got the neon colors and...
I like that a lot. Especially on the DC Shield with the logo.
It reminded me of Schumacher's Batman. And the minute I saw that, I thought Schumacher.
It's not Schumacher. They weren't making a bunch of puns. Well, were they doing any puns in the trailer?
No puns.
Dude, she bashes a window. They all turn around. She grabs a purse and he goes, what the hell's wrong with you? We're criminals, right? I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up. That was so stupid. That made no sense. Like,
I don't know. As a casual observer of Harley Quinn, that just seems like Harley Quinn to me.
I still think you're hung up because you are very married to the Harley Quinn of the animated series. You like Harley Quinn in the Jester's outfit, the classic version.
I liked her personality. You have to remember, she's not like this sociopath.
In the cartoons, though, she gets
beat up by the Joker. She's his punching bag. Mm-hmm. Like, she's this...
Nothing in the trailer shows you that that's not... I don't don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he's going to beat up on her. But
no,
but
actually, see, that's the thing that I actually do have a bit of a trouble with, is it's pretty clear they're going to give her origin in the movie.
Yeah.
And the origin from the comics, which was by the same guys who did the animated series, is that she fell in love with the Joker's chaos mentality. And she was one of his doctors at Arkham Asylum. Yeah. She was essentially seduced by the Joker. And so she helped him out and started dressing up in the Harlequin suit. So she was entirely, it was her choice. She was obviously a little nutso too to fall for God the Joker.
Right.
But she was the one who made all those choices. And one thing that bothers me about what I'm seeing in the movie trailer is that it's clear that he's going to torture her. And after, at some point after this torture that he experiences under her, it looks like he probably throws her into vat of chemicals just like he went through. So it looks like she's not only taking his origin instead of having her own, but it's an origin that's based in his abuse and her having sort of a Stockholm syndrome kind of thing going on. And that's not a very 2016 attitude to take with a character like Harley Quinn. I think her old origin was actually more progressive and more forward-thinking, and that's sort of retro and misogynistic. Plus, she's clearly going to be a little sex doll in that movie. That's why they put her on those little short shorts. They've been doing that in the comics anyway. That's just who she is now.
But I don't know.
She is more of a crazy sociopath. She is more of a killer. She is more of a sex pot.
My biggest fear is this. You gave me some Suicide Squad to read.
Well, but this is the new 52.
I know, I get that. And I actually have some of that as well. It seems like they're trying too hard. Like, you have Will Smith, so he's not going to die. And he's going to be one of those kind of stoic villains where he's a bad guy, but he's misunderstood, and he's doing it for his kid who probably has cancer or something like that.
No, he has a kid in the comics, though. They introduced that in at least the early 2000s with the Christos Cage series.
The stuff I read that you gave me was like, these were bad people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when they die...
Which step of mine did I give you? Did you read the original Ostrander, or did you read the From the Ashes miniseries?
I was trying to come up with a name I couldn't think of.
Well, he wrote both, but I mean, was it that trade paperback that came out in more recent years where it's like they're getting the band back together, essentially?
No, From the Ashes. First run.
Okay, so this is the stuff where, like, from the 80s then.
Yeah, like, okay. They're just wiping out characters, because I mean, I was just like, holy shit. Like,
didn't you read the one from the 90s that Keith Giffen did too? Where it's more of a cartoony style of artwork?
No,
like more like Umberto Ramos looking stuff?
No.
Okay.
I kind of would like to check that.
Yeah, that one's good too. I like those.
But I liked it because these characters weren't really, in the books, they didn't seem redeemable. They're just like really bad
people.
They're
supposed to be.
Yeah, they're bad people. And so you just want to see how far, like, you almost, to me anyway, I enjoyed it to see all the bad stuff they do. How do they get out of stuff doing the bad things? Instead of the heroes taking the high road where, oh, we won't do this. They're like, oh yeah, I'll absolutely kill this person to get through that door. I have no problem with that. So when they died, you're kind of like, well, I mean, it just came hand in hand.
Well, you know who's going to die. You know Slipknot's going to die.
Who?
Slipknot is totally going to die. Adam Beach, the Native American dude.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because like on that special, they named everybody in the Suicide Squad and showed a picture of their comic book incarnation, except Slipknot. So it's like, that dude's toast. That guy's gone. I thought Enchantress, but they clearly have spent a little bit of money on her powers manifesting though. And it looks cool. It looks like she's got like flies and stuff flying around her. It looks like she's got like bugs and like toxic stuff
like
going around her. But I like that. I like that she's really creepy looking. So I'm hoping they're going to like maybe have her keep around.
I'll give the movie a chance. I'm just not feeling it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I'm a Marvel fan and all Marvel movies are great.
I think I'm probably going to end up liking it better than Guardians, honestly.
Really?
I have less investment.
Dude.
No, listen.
You see two trailers and you're like, oh, I'm going to like that better than Guardians.
Well, because I like Guardians okay, but I didn't love it. I thought that there were a lot of opportunities there that they missed. Obviously, this movie's going to have more girl power as opposed to Gamora being such a
wimp. There you go.
Yeah, that's a part of it. Because Gamora should have been the biggest badass, and instead she was such a wuss in Guardians, where I like that these are bad people. If they have character flaws, they're supposed to. They're freaking criminals. And I do like the girl power. You got Katana, you got Enchantress, you got Harley Quinn, you got Amanda Waller, one of the most badass characters in all the comic book. And they actually got somebody that remotely resembles the Wall, as opposed to that scrawny model they got on the Arrow show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm going to be able to, because I'm not invested in any of those characters enough that I can't roll with most anything they do. The only thing that I would have a problem with is if they screw with Killer Croc, because he's like my favorite Batman villain. And
really?
I love Killer Croc.
I never knew that.
I love Killer Croc.
Yeah.
The problem is,
it's always been that way. Loves him some Killer Croc.
But the Killer Croc I love is the one that was originally created by Jerry Conway, and I think Dan Juergens designed him. And he was more of a thinker. He wasn't like one of the cartoons where he was kind of dumb and just vicious. He did go through sewers, though. He was a killer. He was like a mob boss. He's a guy who killed Jason Todd's parents in the pre-crisis universe. That's how he became Robin, in fact. He murdered his parents. And the way Dan Juergens drew Croc, and he had a really good inker, too. I don't remember who inked him, but he just looked so scary, so vicious, just so he looked more like Luke Cage in Jessica Jones, where he's just like his proportions, he has human proportions, and he just had the scales, but he looked really tough, really dangerous. He had a cool origin too, and I just want him to be handled well. And so far, it looks good. I like him running around with the hoodie. I like it being clear that he's trying to conceal himself, but he's got good makeup, and I think he's going to look really badass once they start showing him in action. I think he's just going to be brutal. I think he might end up being like the Groot. Where this guy, you're not looking for a Killer Croc, and when he shows up in such an over-the-top, vicious way that he's going to win people over. I think El Diablo is probably going to come off looking pretty cool too.
Well, like I said, right now he looks kind of juicy, but I just don't feel they're going to make him evil. They're all going to be like, they're just bad guys.
I think they're going to be bad. I think that's why they got David Ayer.
But the thing is, if you're bad, then you can be redeemed. When you're evil,
no, I think some of these guys are going to be freaking evil. That's why I like that shot of Captain Boomerang hiding in the middle of a battle and drinking a brewski, because this is a guy who he can be cowardly like that. He's absolutely motivated by himself. Like that.
Yeah, that's nothing.
So I think you're going to see that, and that's going to be one of those things. I think people will suffer bad more than they'll suffer cowardly. You like a lot of times people will immediately dismiss you if you're a coward. But I like the idea of there being cowards in the group. I like the idea. I'm hoping they recreate the sequence from the original Suicide Squad books where Captain Boomerang is the guy who talks Slipknot into the situation that leaves him dismembered. Essentially, he actually like cons him into doing something that he shouldn't have done, and he dies because of it. I think if they did that again in the movie, that would be freaking awesome.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'll get a shot, man.
Hey, when does that come out? When does that movie come out?
That one's August.
August?
Okay.
Yeah. You see, that's another reason why it's totally Guardians of the Galaxy. They even have the same, like, because it wasn't Guardians in August movie too. It totally was. Because it showed you can still make money in August, because it just plowed through like 3 weeks of August.
Because we got what? Deadpool's coming up, and right after Deadpool's Batman and Superman and March, right?
Yeah, about 6 weeks after. Because if I remember correctly, Deadpool comes out Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And then Batman versus Superman is the end of March 25th.
So that should be interesting.
And then 2 months later, like, well, not even 2 months, like about 5-6 weeks later, you get Civil War, which is going to be the best of all of them.
Wow.
I have my reservations about all Marvel movies now.
Really? Why?
That they're going to just try and cram way too many characters in it because they're planning for 3 other movies down the road.
I still think that...
Age of Ultron has soiled me.
So you're thinking of nothing but like a setup movies now? Setting up the next movie? Yeah. Setting up the next movie?
Yeah. That they're going to tinker too much with every movie to try and fit in what they're going to do in the next 3 movies. That it's just going to... The directors are going to mail it in, and everything that's decent is going to get cut. And, yeah.
I think that part of what hurt Age of Ultron is they were using Age of Ultron to set up Civil War. I think Civil War is the payoff for Age of Ultron. So I think
I hope so.
What I think happened is Iron Man 2 got sacrificed to make the Avengers happen, and that Age of Ultron got sacrificed to make Civil War happen. I think that once you see the payoff, you'll like just like what happened with Iron Man 2. You like Iron Man 2 better after you see Black Widow being cool in other movies once they finally got her set up. I think the same thing's gonna happen here. They had Ant-Man, and Ant-Man's gonna be in Civil War. You've got all those new Avengers that are gonna split into 2 different teams and fight each other in Civil War. They're not the only new character they're introducing is Black Panther. So
he's gonna be a bad ass.
And you don't have to develop like that all that much, because as soon as he shows up, you're like, oh crap, this guy's like the Snake Eyes of the Marvel Universe. He doesn't need to say anything. He doesn't need to do anything besides kick people's butts. And you don't have to explain anything about his backstory.
So is somebody going to die in Civil War?
My understanding is they filmed multiple.
3.
Yeah. They did. I was just leading you into whether or not you had heard that yet, because I don't want to spoil it for you. Yeah. So somebody's going to die, and they've recorded multiple deaths.
Died.
That'd be cool if they kill all 3. Like, they use all 3 indies.
That'd be dope.
All of a sudden.
Because who were the 3?
I don't know. I didn't investigate. Okay. I don't want to know.
Then I'm not going to say, because I was going to say.
I don't think anybody has said. I don't think anybody has said. They have?
I don't want to know.
Oh, yeah, they did.
I don't want to know.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just say I think all of them are cool. Okay. If any one of them happens, I think it'll be kind of cool.
Well, if they follow the books, we already know where it's going.
Were there any major? Were there any major or all sporting characters?
You didn't want to know. No, don't give them.
Okay, that's fine.
Hey, man, don't do that. You've told me I'd tell you, and now you're trying to goad me into telling you.
Wow, dude, that was like watching a dope fiend right there, dude. He's like,
yeah.
Yeah, clearly. Wonder Woman. Mac, you had a theory. A
few things on Roman. One, I think it looks cool. I think the World War One looks cool. I think all the...
Why not World War
II? All the outfits look cool. But obviously, it's World War One and not World War II, because Captain America did World War II. Obviously, right?
He owns it.
Everybody's trying to give Wonder Woman credit that, oh, World War One. Nobody ever used World War One. This is so smart, right? That they're going to, you know, blah, 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 women's rights, blah, 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 which is a bunch of bullshit. It's just because Captain America did World War II. Everybody does World War II. Everybody.
I would have loved to have seen the Civil War. Watch her run around in Civil War.
Yes. That would have been like a
kind of slavery. She's anti-slavery. Women are probably treated even worse than that. Just saying.
No, I disagree. No, because I think that one of the reasons why you had the rise of feminism was because of the industrialization. Is when everybody was like on the family farm and stuff, then rights wasn't as big of an issue, I don't think. But once you had men going off and working in the cities, and then the women were basically left to fend for themselves, or they're already fending for themselves and they're trying to do so in a city, they won't employ them like they employ men. Yeah, I think you need the Industrial Revolution to highlight the need for feminism. And I do think that it was a smart thing to have her be placed in the era of the early suffragettes so you could see how bad women's lot was before the start of feminism. I like the idea that they're tying this movie into feminism and allow that to be the case. But I also totally agree that they went World War One, so they weren't in World War Two, because that's where the actual character came from. But it doesn't help that she's running around with a freaking shield smacking quasi-Nazis.
Yeah, she's got a shield.
Should it be Hessians or something?
She's got a shield.
Oh, wait, yeah, wait, she's got a stinking shield. And she's smacking quasi-Nazis.
Guys, she's got red, white, and blue with stars all over
her. A simple no would have sufficed, because that was like a really bad joke on my part. But I was literally visualizing the scene from the Untouchables when De Niro's bashing the guy with a baseball bat as you were beating my joke when I was just poking fun. You didn't have to kill it.
No, I wanted to express those thoughts.
You murdered it.
So here's the thing.
I thought she looked like Xena. I saw it and I was like, I thought it was Xena.
I think there's a lot of Xena in there.
I know Max, like, I didn't see, I would say Xena is a copy of her. Mm-hmm. Like Wonder Woman is the origins. And
Xena was clearly influenced by Wonder Woman and then back again. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm kind of interested in the Wonder Woman. I want to see that movie. I want to see what they're going to do with it. I don't know if they're going to, like, is she going to be kind of violent like the Superman movie where she's blown up?
She's got a sword, and she clearly is slashing at.
But is she magical?
She should still be magical. Yes.
She's out of clay.
I don't know if that's the origin they're gonna do. Jeff Johns in that special said that people hadn't really seen Wonder Woman's origin; they weren't familiar with it the way they were with Batman's and Superman's.
Yeah.
But I don't know which origin he's talking about. If he means the New 52 one, where Wonder Woman came from Zeus's penis, or if they mean the clay. But I'd like to speak to that too. It really makes me mad that they keep harping on this clay thing. You guys heard this book called The Bible? Because in the Bible, we were made of clay too. We were made from the dirt of the earth and sculpted. And what happened is God came and took a piece of Adam's rib and made woman from that, right? So with Wonder Woman.
Spoilers. Oh my God.
2,500 years.
Spoilers.
So what they did with Wonder Woman is they basically just gave her equality to Adam. She was sculpted from clay the way that Adam was sculpted from clay. She was given life by a goddesses where Adam was given life by God. And this thing where they keep trying to turn her into a golem, or they keep harping on the clay thing, that's the origin of man in Judeo-Christian belief. That's where that comes from. Quit harping on that. It's stupid. It makes you look stupid. And it's just one of those BS arguments to undermine the character and undermine her uniqueness. And it was freaking her, you know, we named the dog Indy. It's the same kind of thing. That's the origin of one of her supporting characters, the modern age Wonder Girl. That's Cassie Sandsmark's origin. And it drives me nuts that Wonder Girl could fly, so 40 years after the character was created, suddenly Wonder Woman can fly. She stole it from Donna Troy. And then you got Cassie Sandsmark. She steals Cassie Sandsmark's origin for her. Plus, they throw in all that gross stuff about the Amazons raping men to reproduce and all that kind of stuff. It was a beautiful story when you had an island full of women. There were no children because there were no men to make children. And she's the first child born on this island in thousands of years, you know? But I don't know which origin they're going to use in the movie.
And right there, I see. And the more you know, over his head.
It was more like, you want to straighten that soapbox out for your buddy? I want you to fall.
I kind of was throwing that in your direction because I was wondering what origins, because I know about the clay origins.
They say they're going to do an origin story, but I don't know what origin.
Like, isn't that just the biggest cop out ever, that she's half god, half something? Yeah. It's just like everybody.
Isn't Xena divine?
Who
birth?
Gives a Hercules,
was she elevated to godhood? At some
I
point
had
though?
To watch it because of an ex, but I don't remember the origins or anything.
That's another thing to keep talking on. But her being a god, she wasn't a god until John Byrne did her in like the early 2000s or late 90s. She was not a god. She was an Amazon. She was an Amazon created from a statue initially, but she was an Amazon. She was flesh and blood human being. She wasn't a goddess at most.
Could she be killed?
Yeah, she could be killed.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, like she wasn't bulletproof, right?
No, she wasn't. That's why she
not
had
without the bracelets.
The bracelets. That's why she doesn't need a shield, because Wonder Woman has bracelets to deflect bullet with. I think that there are going to be a lot of 70s fans are going to get real mad at this movie when they see her blocking stuff with a shield like Captain America, when her whole thing is
right.
She's got the freaking brace.
How much more cool?
I didn't even think about that.
How much more badass would that have been if when Gollum Hulk Doomsday shoots that laser beam and she gets blocked and she's got her X with the that would have been way better.
She did that.
That would actually
have
been kind of cool.
Yeah, they made a big deal about her doing that in War of the Gods. She deflected it with this like God blast.
It doesn't make sense that she just blocks it with her wrist, but it doesn't matter.
The bracelets are magic. Magical too.
Right, so that's
oh, everything.
Does she have her lasso too?
Yes. Well, she has the lasso in the movie. We haven't actually seen it in use because she's using a freaking sword and a shield, something that she only started using in the last 5 freaking years. At least in the comics, she had an axe. It's at times, like during Challenge of the Gods with George Perez did her, and that wasn't so bad because you had like this little W-shaped axe thingy, and it looked kind of
nice.
But at least
that
was a double-sided axe.
No. I know that's fine. So,
Now I'm just throwing this out there. Invisible Jet? Yes or no?
I don't think it's in the movie. No.
Oh,
I'm a fan of the Invisible Jet though.
That'd have been sweet, dude.
dude.
That was one of my favorite, even though it was badly done, one of my favorite things about the David E. Kelly failed pilot was that she did have the invisible jet that she flew around in. I liked that, yeah. And she used a lasso, but unfortunately she kept using it.
They'll probably make her fly. She flies now, right?
I believe she's going to fly, yeah. No. Well, she's been able to fly since 1987 in the comics. And of course she flew in Justice League. I prefer her to have the invisible jet. I mean, it just makes sense to me.
Wait. Don't even just say, I prefer her to... You did not just say, I prefer her to use the invisible jet. It just makes sense to me. Like, what does that even mean?
Because everybody knows about the invisible jet. That's part of the lore of Wonder Woman. If you grew up with Wonder Woman, you know, unless you're born in recent years, I mean, if you saw Justice League, yeah. But again, they had that stupid javelin thing that they were flying around in. That was basically the invisible jet. True. So just make it the invisible jet, jerks.
They're not going to.
Yeah, but how do Island Amazons have an invisible jet?
Because in the original comics, they were actually sci-fi Amazons.
Got franked.
Yeah.
They had
an advanced culture that basically had magic and science intermingled with one another, not unlike Amazon, Asgardians, but 20 years earlier, 25 years earlier.
Shots fired.
So they knew about man's world because they basically had this scrying device where they could see the world as though it was a television projection before there was a television. So, and they had invisible jets, so, which was awesome.
Mm. Man, that's got to be an air traffic controller's nightmare with a bunch of invisible jets flying around Themyscira or wherever it was.
Well, you know what kills me too? Is you know who's got an invisible jet now? Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Do they really?
They have an invisible jet. So it's good enough for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we can't have that for Wonder Woman.
I think that if it's good enough for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's probably good that she doesn't have it.
Well, they stole it from her because, I mean, it would make more sense for the S.H.I.E.L.D. to have a stealth craft, but instead they've got an actual invisible. It's not invisible. What it is that it chameleons around its environment, so it makes it look as though.
Like Predator, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I know what Predator is. That a
Predator
universe?
Predator.
Oh, okay. Did Predator do that? I thought Predator became translucent.
No, it was. It reflects his surroundings. That's how he.
Okay, well, that's how their invisible jet worked. Yeah.
It bends light.
But you had something in particular that you were saying about Gal Gadot.
Oh, yeah. Does anybody know if she can act and carry a 2.5 hour long movie?
I've only ever seen her in Fast and Furious movies.
Ooh.
So that doesn't bode well, does it?
Yeah. Now, unless it's a car screaming.
Or is she just not going to talk a lot? Is what's his name? Scott Pine going to end up being the star of this movie? Is that
Chris Pine?
What's Chris Pine?
Yeah.
Scott Pine.
Pine Saul? I don't know. What is it?
Captain Kirk.
What's his character's name in the thing?
Steve Trevor.
Are we sure that Steve Trevor isn't going to kind of be like the protagonist in this movie and she's just going to kind of.
I don't think they're going to do that. She might be the POV character, though. You know, and I think
might be the POV character.
I think he may be the POV character. He's definitely going to end up being like Star-Lord, I think. He's going to be a swaggering cop. Yeah.
Sarcastic.
Cocky, chauvinist male, yeah. Here's the problem I have.
I'm Steve Trevor.
Who? Here's the problem I have. We've seen the Batman versus Superman trailer. We've seen that footage from Wonder Woman, and we had Gal Gadot on that special for a millisecond.
Yeah.
They won't let her talk.
Not a lot of talking.
Why aren't they letting her talk?
No talky-talky.
I think that the thick Israeli accent could be part of the reason why they're not letting her talk, you know?
So that may be part of it, too. They're trying to get her to do, like, an American accent or something, and it's...
Or Grecian
which would be
accent.
An even bigger train wreck. A Grecian accent.
Yeah, or, you know, yeah, I don't know what the hell, you know?
I don't think they would do that.
It'd be awesome if they dubbed it.
That Greek Wonder Woman?
She would just be British, right? Isn't that how, if an American's making a movie and she needs to be European, they just make her British.
I'm just picturing that film where Arnold Schwarzenegger was dubbed when he was Hercules.
Mm-hmm. Hercules goes bananas, aka Hercules in New York.
Yeah, I'm just picturing it being dubbed like that where she's speaking and it's just
they did the same things to
Jackie Chan,
Lou Ferrigno in his Hercules movies too.
I heard they did that with Dolph Lundgren for Masters of the Universe.
Did they? No, yeah,
there's a documentary you can watch on Netflix, and they did they were talking about it where Dolph Lundgren was doing Masters of the Universe and Sylvester Stallone just happened to be on set and he looked up there and they're like, you gave him lines? Because apparently that's why he didn't speak in the Rocky movie, because they were like, his accent was so horrible you couldn't quite understand him. So he was like surprised they gave him lines. So he's dubbed, like somewhat dubbed.
Did they do ADR work or was he literally dubbed by other people?
There's a documentary about the Canon films called Electric Boogaloo.
I need to watch that one.
It's great.
Cool.
They showed so many movies like the American Ninja films and all that. I was like, I forgot all about these movies. I'm going to have to go back and watch them now, because as a kid, I loved them.
Hey, so then I guess Aquaman, is that the last one we have to talk about?
Have they shown anything? They didn't show anything about Aquaman. They showed the
toy. Oh, no, I saw a toy on.
They showed
a
concept art. And they showed
that's what it was. Yeah. It was concept art.
But it just
looks like the Jason Momoa that we've already seen anyway. So yeah.
But is he going to be, he's going to be an Islander, right?
I think so. I think they're going to acknowledge that he's not a honky.
Blah, he's going to do that cool. What is it? They do that Polynesian battle.
Oh, you know, this is. No, we shouldn't do that. We really.
Ooh, ee. Ooh, ah, ah.
Walla, walla, bing, bang.
Walla, walla, bing, bang.
Yeah, we shouldn't probably do that. I think I'm.
There's a great Soulfly song. song called, what is it called? Primal or something like that, and they do that.
So, really? Yeah. When I just saw that they did a thing on YouTube where they're doing a Polynesian wedding, and the brother and the brother-in-law start doing some kind of chant. It was kind of cool. I mean, the bride starts crying because it's supposed to be very spiritual.
Man, you gotta stay off Facebook, dude.
Why?
I think that's like the 8th Facebook viral quote-unquote video you've referenced since we've been together.
I liked it. That was interesting.
You're such a hipster. Mm-hmm. That's where Naguano Man was saying that all the Star Wars, the New Force Awakens hate was. Because all we've done is hear
on a Facebook?
That it's apparently Facebook is the den of scum and villainy with regards to people not liking New
Force Awakens. Oh, it's the scum and villainy for everything.
I got caught. Somebody called me out on it the other day. Like, you kept calling New Hope. I'm like, isn't it?
We're not going to retread. That episode just came out.
Okay, so... Now they did hint at Green Lantern.
Yeah, they showed the logos core. There's no guarantee those are going to be the movie logos.
I'm thinking it's a stinger at the end.
We already know that. I'm not arguing with that at all.
Oh.
Although I do want to point out that Christopher Nolan made a point of saying for Man of Steel, don't do a stinger. Marvel does stingers. We do movies. Our movie ends and the credits begin. And now they've basically told everybody, no, we're going to be doing stingers. We're never going to do stingers. Like, guys, get off Marvel's jock. And of course, that's one of the jokes people are making about Suicide Squad is they weren't going to do the light, funny, serial comic movies, and then Suicide Squad totally has a Marvel vibe to it. So,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you, if you got
I wish that DC wouldn't do stingers. I guarantee you they're going to do stingers from now on. At an executive level said, why didn't we have a stinger on Man of Steel? We need to have stingers on all these movies. Yeah.
Honestly, for a comic book movie, it makes sense, dude. It's that to be continued.
No, I think it makes sense if you're trying to build a movie universe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you want to show a little glimpse of one of the other movies, but so you don't want to put it in the middle of the actual movie because either people are going to miss it or it's going to disrupt the story. So I think that a stinger... Marvel didn't invent the stinger.
Well, actually...
Ferris Bueller's Day Off invented the stinger.
At least, yeah. Or
Right, the stinger?
Yeah.
Well, actually, the next Ferris Bueller's Day Off... They didn't have a stinger. He basically tells you to go home.
It's a stinger. It's a clip.
A stinger is material that's saved for after the credits.
Like Howard the Duck.
Guardians of the Galaxy, that one was like... I could see that with Ferris Bueller where it's this little scene at the end that just
It's the same. It's semantic.
Show you a scene from another movie or character coming into another movie. So it kind of like...
That's all it is. A stinger is something...
A stinger is just that back material after the credits. Okay. You think the movie's over and there's more material after the credits.
Okay.
That's all a stinger is. There's no criteria beyond that. Well, although I think you could argue that Ferris Bueller didn't have a stinger because they showed new material throughout the credits as well.
Oh, yeah, when
It's not for the whole of credits, though.
I think it is.
No.
Most of the credits.
No, eventually goes black.
It doesn't go black. You see stuff throughout the credits. Everything with Rooney and all the weird stuff that happens.
When he sits on the bus with the weird kid.
I think the fact that they have breaks in the credits rolling for visual gags that are taking place during his bus ride.
No, because the bus ride doesn't last 4 minutes long.
No, it doesn't. We can even bring it up on YouTube.
Okay, maybe it does.
No, it doesn't. No, he's right.
It lasts for a long time.
Which one comes first, Rooney or Ferris telling everybody to leave?
Rooney first, and then end, it's Ferris in the shower telling everybody.
You're still here? Go home.
Yeah. Really? Is that the first movie with the stinger?
No, I don't know that that's the first one. That's one of the most famous examples that we can think of. Certainly for our generation, that's the first one.
Talking about my generation.
Britney Spears version.
It wasn't Britney. It was somebody else.
Was it? It was Britney.
No, it was somebody else.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It was horrible.
The preceding program is a nonprofit fan production. Any copyrighted materials contained therein are believed borrowed under fair use with no copyright infringement intended. Please feel free to leave comments at the Rolled Spine Productions WordPress blog. You can also send us Twitter comments through the Rolled Spine Podcast Twitter. Thank you for listening.